And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon, welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom, we're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season dreams are made of at mscopus.org. All the information on shows and events and all the cool things coming in there at mscopus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150, or you can text us 229-1950. 3-9, and it's Thursday. It's upset Thursday. We pick our big upsets of the week.
Oh, that's right. I'm a little behind on that one.
Get upset, one of the two.
I thought that was Wednesday.
I can roll it over to either day.
We had Kevin on yesterday, so it took us a little longer to get into the upset day.
Y'all are too even keel. And then when y'all put y'all together, it's too much. So we'll have to get fired up about something today. I went on a rant about Phil Simms yesterday, but for the most part, the show was too even keeled yesterday. So give us your fiery hot takes, your sports opinions, your whatever, 229-1939. We got a lot going on the show today. Jason Cook is going to join us here in a little bit, talk about the improvements to Kyle Field that they've been making since the first game. We're not interested in from last year to this year, Kroom. We're talking about week to week. What is going to be new, better, whatever, this weekend. We'll also have Coach G on later. And a little bump in the road a little bit for Aggie soccer the last week. So it'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on that. And then pretty much whatever else you want to talk about. It's one of those days in the regular news that something horrible has happened. So we will just stay with sports news. You know, we're not going to get into it, Kroom. I get annoyed when stories like this happen. Not annoyed is not the right word. Upset might be the right word. That
I completely understand.
It's just another day in another place. Same story. So, if you don't know what we're talking about, go check out the news. What's going on?
You should at least.
Well, there's been a shooting at a community college in Oregon. I don't know the name of the school.
And a number of deaths.
I don't want to say it. Cause there's been differing reports.
Right.
Several people have died, according to the AP, was the one I read last. So there you go. That's happening today. We will keep going with the show, despite the lack of importance it really has in the big picture, Kroom. The first thing, maybe this will help you get fired up today, Kroom. SMU's shenanigans.
Oh, basketball?
Yes.
Hmm.
I
think that's more than shenanigans. I think what you could say with SMU, it's more than shenanigans.
Well,
shenanigans are kind of like, almost like harmless, but kind of, you know, off the cuff, not right.
When
it's dead serious about something that's like, doing something wrong like that, I think it's beyond. In other words, what I'm saying is shenanigans might be too light a word for it.
Here is the best thing about SMU's.
You got Larry Brown's teams mixed up there.
About SMU's academic fraud, I guess, for lack of a better word, problem. It centered and started around the player Keith Frazier, who was considering going to A&M. You know, visited A&M. In fact, I think a lot of people thought he was going to go to A&M for a while. Ended up staying at home in SMU. He's from Dallas. And one of the things was he going to be eligible? He had switched high schools like three times. He'd ended up at that prime prep thing for like a year and left or whatever. Anyway. So he's turned out not to be that good of a player in college is the big thing. It's not like he's Michael Jordan or, you know, was one of these like one and done superstars we've seen in the last few years. He's not one of those guys. He's been an okay player for SMU. But I love this part of the story, Kareem. This is why I had to bring it up. I know it's football season. We don't care about basketball, even though practice starts next week. It's getting a little close. But I had to bring this up today. In the allegation, the NCAA says that Frazier had a relationship, not like a dating relationship, but had a relationship with this administrator. It was a basketball administrator who he had. Frazier has as a child, he would let this person babysit his kid when he was at the gym. So he obviously knew this person pretty well. One of the big things that the reason their punishment is so bad is that the NCAA has decided that SMU was having this administrator do Frazier's academic coursework for him. Here's the thing, Frazier said. Frazier told ESPN, he ended the interview, said, quote, "I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know she was doing that class for me. I wasn't aware of that. I know it looks that way on the outside looking in, but I didn't know."
So what's he saying, that he didn't even know he signed up for that class?
Person,
because obviously he's getting a good grade for it.
That's how unbelievable this is. I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of the deny till you die.
I don't
remember
taking calculus 301.
Yeah, you know, just deny, 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 and see if they can pin it on you. But at this point, you can't deny that that happened. Right? I mean, like, oh, I knew I was enrolled in the class, but I thought I was doing my own work. I don't know how that's supposed to work out anyway, but I thought that was pretty funny.
Or I didn't know I was enrolled in the class, and someone's doing my work for me, or someone's taking the class for me, essentially.
Well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. He would have to have not known he was even enrolled.
Yeah.
That's impossible. Right?
To think it is, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's impossible. So, anyway, SMU's got that going on. It's kind of a... It's a bizarre story.
Not a good thing for SMU.
Well, why would Frazier come out and talk to ESPN is a weird part of this thing, too. Like, just keep your mouth shut at this point. If you're the guy that caused
maybe
your school...
Maybe he thinks he's the one that's in trouble and he wants to put it somewhere else.
Maybe. The best part about it...
Or maybe what he thought he was saying would help clarify all of that, and it actually just went the other way.
The best part about this whole story is the NCAA says he didn't even need the class anyway. He was going to be eligible because he had an honors class from his first high school that would have bumped his GPA up high enough.
Geez.
Apparently, he was going to be eligible anyway, but they didn't think so, they did this whole other thing. Like I said, it's a weird story, Kareem. No doubt. That's shenanigans. There's some shenanigans going on. I don't know, whatever. The whole thing is weird. All right, hit us up. What do y'all want to talk about today? 229-1939. Coming up next, it's the picks and upsets of the week. And our upset thing, before y'all start sending in your upsets, and I do want y'all's upsets as well, 229-1939, is it's got to be, what did we say, 7 points?
7 points. If you're a touchdown favorite, you're under. You are upset eligible.
Yeah, you're upset eligible if the line is more than seven.
It's seven or more.
And this applies across the board. However, we did sort of make an exception. I wasn't for it, but you were, of if the teams are widely apart in the rankings, but the line happens to be like 6.5. Then
just last week I didn't think there was only a few games that even were even eligible. So I kind of fudged a little bit and made a couple 4 or 5 point games.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we had the whole debate over does Vegas determine an upset or does the rankings determine an upset?
It's Vegas.
I said Vegas, but you were on the rankings
no,
side.
You're thinking always been a Vegas guy.
No.
I'm the one who said that Vegas should do the polls because they're the ones who think this team's best, and if these two teams played, this team would be best.
We're changing your story.
No, you are.
Classic Kroom.
See, once again, you're mixing me up with one of two other people that are on the air.
I don't think so. Pretty sure this was you.
No.
So there we go. We're going to go to break. When we come back, the picks, the upsets, everything you know about this weekend, we will dive into it. Jason Cook's going to join us a little bit later on. If you have questions for him, we already got a good one on the text line that I know he wants to talk about. Is 229-1939. And your questions for Coach G. And I promise later in the show, we will talk baseball for a little bit because this thing's getting tight, Kroom. It's coming down to the wire. We don't know what's going to happen. It's madness out there. We'll hit on it Keep your texts coming. Keep your calls coming. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Ice cold Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on, up in.
Now you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here. Born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules, including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
Hi, this is Debbie at American Lube Centers. We are known for our fast, friendly service. Now we're looking for experienced lube techs and detailers for our four locations. We also have car wash tech positions available. So if you just love making cars shiny like new, then come apply today. Full-time or part-time, apply in person or email hr@americanlubecenters.com. Come join the award-winning team at American Lube Centers. Best of the Brazos for five consecutive years. American Lube Centers, growing strong, building futures, and taking care of our customers.
Meet Fred, world champion excuse maker.
That's me.
He's been late for work 5 days in a row. His excuses?
Someone stole my steering wheel, my cat had a root canal, my cousin's houseboat sank, and I had to feed my neighbor's ferret.
So what's his excuse for not going to AggielandHelpWanted.com? He knows he'll find a terrific new job from a great local employer.
Yeah.
It's free. There are more local job postings than anywhere else, and applying for jobs is even easier than ever before.
Well, yeah.
So, champ?
I was abducted by aliens.
Uh-huh. There's no excuse. Go to AggielandHelpWanted.com today. Long name. Amazing results.
You're a one-woman shopping machine. But this weekend at the Bell's One-Day Sale, you're going to need backup because there are way too many great deals for one person to carry. Shoes for the family or buy one, get one free. And all baby wear is 50% off during extra doorbuster hours Friday from 2 to 9 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. After doorbuster hours, women's sportswear is 40% off. With all the savings and extra savings with your coupon, it's like getting even more for free. That's why you love it. Your One-Day Sale at Bell's. Exclusions apply.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Catch up on the Longhorns, the Big 12, and football from around the state with Cedric Golden of the Austin American Statesman each Friday at 11:30 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnevasota.com.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Rich Kroom. All right, it's the upsets and picks of the weekend. Do we want to do the upsets first, or do we want to pick the big games first, Kroom?
Let's go upsets first.
All right, who do you got?
Okay, I've got my upset special is Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Is that yours, too?
No, it's just... I don't know. I just don't care about that game.
Wow.
That's my thing there.
I mean, if you look at the games which we say are eligible.
I want Oklahoma State to lose.
Most of them are more in the mid-major range. Than,
or you can be bold to pick a team that's more than a 7-point upset.
Well, I know. I mean, I usually look at 7 to 10, figuring, you know, I mean, if it's more than that, it's really, really crazy. But... So that's my – go ahead. You go. You name one.
Okay, I've got one that's not a high-level game. I bet Cincinnati beats Miami. Miami 7-point favorites at Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati to win that one. That's my, like, upset that no one's really going to care about, but that's a 7-point line, I think, there. What's your other one, Kroom?
Oh, that's that. That's tonight, huh? Okay, my other one, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and It started at 7.5, and now it's 6.5, so I consider that 7.
Oh, shenanigans.
I'm going to Arkansas to beat Tennessee.
Arkansas is a 6.5-point dog to Tennessee?
Yep. They were 7.5.
Oh, that's
opened
weird.
At 7.5, now 6.5.
I don't think I like that. It seems like the wrong team is favored.
So you don't think that should count as an upset for me?
I mean, neither one of them can win a close game, so whoever wins is going to win by like 10.
Wow.
I like Texas Tech to beat Baylor this weekend, Kroom. I mean, I know that
this is... I was going to bring that up in our big games of
yeah,
the week.
I'm going out of the way on the limb here. I like Tech to win. I think that they are... I don't think Baylor's played absolutely anybody. And I know that they are better than Tech, and if they played in November, Baylor would probably win this game. But the fact that Baylor hasn't played anyone at all, but Tech has played
a couple good teams.
Tech has played Arkansas, who at least has decent players. We saw that a week ago.
I mean, they're a good team.
They played TCU. They played TCU close last week. Again, they could have won.
Should have won. I mean, if it wasn't for a lucky play at the end, would have won. Shouldn't say should have, could have.
I think maybe the fact that Baylor hasn't faced competition that good, I think maybe, you know, gets them off guard early in the game. And I like Tech to win. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's my big upset of the week. Texas Tech to topple the Bears.
My weird line of the week, like I told you during the break, cannot believe that Oregon is only a 7, and I know they just got crushed, but Colorado's been terrible for how many years now? And still are, really. Oregon's only favored by 7 at Colorado. That's that one. If I'm in Vegas, I'm going to the casino and
that's your weird,
throwing some money down on Oregon.
That's your weird line of the week?
Yeah.
That is a weird line. My weird line of the week.
And what's really strange about it is how much has changed. Opened at 12. It's a 5-point difference.
Let me bet you people are hurt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care if Oregon's going to be hurt.
By the way, Baylor 17-point favorites over Tech.
Yeah, so you're really jumping out on there.
I saw someone earlier said that this game has the highest over-under since at least 1990. The over-under in Baylor Tech, 88.5 points.
Really?
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, because you know what I was going to say? Yeah, it is 89 now on this one. I was going to say what I noticed a trend at least the first few weeks, was that the over-unders were a little lower than the last few years. Almost like Vegas is saying the defenses are kind of caught up with the spread a little bit.
My weird line of the week might be Ole Miss, Florida. I thought they'd be a little more of a favorite than 7.5. I know that one's at Florida, so if they're a neutral field, it's probably 9.5. But I still think that one, I don't know, that one's a little bit interesting. All right, the big games of the week, Kroom. Start in the SEC. Alabama, Georgia.
Oh, I mean, that's the big game of the national, of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, could you say, and I mean, it would take quite a few scenarios if Alabama lost for them, they'd be out of the playoff picture.
Oh, yeah, they're out of the playoff picture if they lose. Mainly because Georgia would have to lose a couple times. They'd have to lose the SEC title.
Well, the only thing I see is, like I said, it would be like Alabama would have to figure out a way to have everyone in the West lose twice as well, and then them go on to win the SEC, you know, and then
right, they'd have to still find a way to win the West.
And then win the SEC title game.
They're done if they lose.
So there'd be a lot of ifs and ands there if Alabama lost, which, of course, you could almost say about Alabama every week now.
Quit banging around the bush, Kroom. Who do you want?
On that game?
Yeah.
I think Alabama's going to win.
At Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Georgia wins this one. I don't think it's that close. I don't think Alabama's that good. We said this before the season.
I think they're good except for their own quarterback. Which obviously is a key position.
They're good without... Yeah. All right,
they've
fine.
They've been good
the
without...
The Texans are also good without a quarterback, but...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama's that good. I think Georgia wins this. I don't think it's going to be... Not that I'm saying they're going to absolutely blow them out, but like 24-14, 27-14,
30-17. See, my problem is I haven't seen Georgia play this year.
A couple scores for
Georgia. I have seen Alabama play a couple times.
Give me Georgia.
Hey,
a sneaky game.
I still say that you know, like you look at that Alabama-Ole Miss game, Ole Miss had two freaky plays, and they won the turnover battle, 5-0?
I was 5-something.
Yeah, and they still only won by 5 points.
Georgia's winning. That's more, though, why I don't think necessarily that Ole Miss is a world-beating team. But, you know, that's another story for another day. Sneaky game here, Kroom, because this team's creeping up on folks. West Virginia, Oklahoma, that one's bright and early, 11 o'clock in the morning. Oklahoma, a 7-point home favorite over West Virginia.
So you're saying West Virginia's been sneaking up on people?
Yeah, they're sneaky.
Oklahoma. You've liked Oklahoma from the beginning.
I do like Oklahoma.
So you can't go against them there.
Oh, I can go against them.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not going to.
I'm not either.
Oklahoma's going to win this one.
I still think Oklahoma. West Virginia, and I don't know if Vegas took this into, obviously they would take this into consideration, but they haven't been great on the road, correct? In the Big 12, West Virginia.
I have no idea. You just pulled. You pulled it out on me. I wasn't prepared for any sort of stats for that. They could be horrible on the road. The thing is, they've been horrible for the most part in the Big 12. They weren't any good until last year. So,
well, they had the big upset last year at home, didn't they?
They beat Baylor.
Yeah,
but
so
anyway, I don't know who you got. West Virginia, Oklahoma. Not feeling the upset in Texas TCU. 15 is a lot in this game because TCU's defense is terrible, but Texas's offense isn't any good either. So I think TCU is going to – if this game were in prime time, TCU would destroy them. But
you get really into the time of games, don't you?
Yeah, because another thing, 11 o'clock, it takes time for everybody, especially a team used to playing prime time games. Like, and we saw A&M looked ridiculous against Nevada. And they just, like, mailed it in once that game was over. They were like, all right, we don't care anymore. And almost let Nevada back in it. But it's hot. You're used to playing at night. I don't know. The time of day means a lot to me. It's 11 o'clock. I think the time gives you a little bit of the over-under here. The over-under in West Virginia, Oklahoma, that's also an 11 o'clock kick, is only 59, which by Big 12 standards is a pretty low over-under. Texas TCU, the over-under is 71. TCU's 15-point favorites. They're going to win. But Ole Miss, Florida, how about that one?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, I like Ole Miss.
I can't see Florida scoring against Ole Miss.
Florida, we talked about this yesterday.
I mean, they're better now, obviously, with the new coach. Because he's from CSU.
We talked about this yesterday. Florida is they're one of my four most overrated teams in the country. So I think they're going to get absolutely bashed this weekend. The other big game, another sneaky game, 7 o'clock.
If you're A&M, you want Florida, don't you?
Well, yeah, because you don't play Florida. You do play Ole Miss.
Just because of the standings.
Well, yeah, but if it was two West teams or if it was a team you play, it would kind of all even out in the long stretch. But they don't have to play Florida either way, so probably you'd rather have Florida win that one. The other big game of the weekend, Notre Dame-Clemson.
I like that game. I hope to get to watch some of that. What time is that, Mr.
That is 7 o'clock.
Oh, shoot. Won't get
in
to watch
Death Valley. Yeah. The other Death Valley.
Yeah, I'm going Clemson.
Clemson's favored here, and which says a little bit to me because Notre Dame is ranked 6, so you get the 1.5-point dogs here. I know they're on the road.
Yeah, but that's the thing where they were up there. They've had a few injuries, but they've actually won. They actually won that game since the injury, so they don't drop any in the rankings.
I think,
but they're still not as good as they could have been.
I think Clemson flexes a little bit here and just destroys Notre Dame. I think this is – Clemson is sort of limped their undefeated mark. They had a battle with Louisville that shouldn't have been.
I'm going to hit you with a tennis thing.
I think they go big here. I think that's the big – team we're talking about Monday is, whoa, Clemson. You know, are they a contender? That kind of stuff.
I'm going to hit you with a tennis thing.
No.
My doubles partner graduated from Notre Dame.
I picked the other team.
Graduated from Notre Dame.
I don't care.
Doubles partner.
I pick whoever's against y'all. Is that a pick? Can I make that pick? Who are you
against
playing?
Us?
Yeah, I'm picking the other team.
Go ahead, make that pick, and you'll be wearing it.
I don't know who y'all are playing. I don't know anything about it. I just know that no one cares.
Well, there's four people that care.
Anyway.
The four playing.
Another sneaky game this weekend, a team that is undefeated but probably shouldn't be because then we have to talk about them. Iowa. How about that, Kroom?
Didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Hawkeyes are 4-0, and they go to Wisconsin, who's number 19. bounce back from their opening weekend loss to Bama. Wisconsin only 7-point favorites here. If Iowa can pull this one off, we'll have to be talking about the Hawkeyes a little bit. But I'm not seeing that one. Also an 11 o'clock kick. Poor Maryland is going to get destroyed by Michigan. Also an 11 o'clock kick.
Yeah, Lee, we watch a lot of games at 11 if we can get up in time from Friday night high school.
Yeah, I'll be up. No doubt. The other one, and I was trying to find there was another interesting game in here. Oh, Ohio State, Indiana. Talk about 4-0 teams that I hope we don't have to talk about. Indiana's schedule, absolute crap. But they are 4-0.
Crap more than Baylor crap?
Well, it's close. Yeah. At least they've played four games. Baylor, I think, has only played three.
Well, that's a schedule thing.
Indiana hosts Ohio State. They are 21.5-point dogs here.
Ooh, they might not cover, but Ohio State's winning.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, easily. We're both going to make Ohio State. But did they cover 21.5 on the road?
I don't think
this
so.
This is a team that's been like, you know, I mean, they had a drive to lose against whoever it was, Northern Illinois.
It's like they haven't woken up yet from their national championship deal. So, but maybe.
Well, they've got massive injuries, too. A wide receiver, they've got some problems.
And the quarterback hasn't been as good as, you know, the quarterback position where they thought they had three of them, you know, obviously.
Well, they always say if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. Maybe if you have three, you have negative one.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know how that works. But I like Indiana to cover. I don't think they'll win. But I like, you know, get the crowd pumped up. They're all psyched up there. It's like the biggest home game in forever for Indiana. So we'll see.
They're not as good in basketball anymore, so might as well give them a little bit in football.
Let's see. Some of y'all upset of the week. Clemson beats Notre Dame, 31-20. Someone says, our friend hashtag South Park Cows says, Texas will upset TCU. Tech upsets Baylor. Oklahoma wins the Big 12, and monkeys will fly out of his hind parts, is what he said. And then also someone noted something that is worth keeping in mind.
So does that mean none of that's happening since monkeys probably aren't flying out of his?
Well, they might. We don't know. That happened in, I don't know what the movie was. The one thing to keep in mind, and someone did text this in, Hurricane Joaquin will have an impact on some of the East Coast games or on all of the East Coast games, what the text said. In fact, one game today has already been moved. Michigan-Maryland is now going to be at noon because of the potential for the hurricane impact there. So we'll see. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to get Jason Cook on the line. We'll see what's going on over at Kyle Field this weekend. Send us your questions, 229-1939. And we'll be back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM, 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. On the last day of the federal government's fiscal year, Congress scrambled again to approve another continuing resolution. Another vote from Congressman Bill Flores yesterday was legislation requiring victims of terrorism supported by Iranians to be paid before the president can remove economic sanctions.
Iranians have been supporting Hamas and Hezbollah for decades. And those organizations have killed dozens of Americans, and there are $43 billion in judgments against the Iranians for their support of these terrorist activities that haven't been paid. And so what this bill says is that the president cannot lift the sanctions against Iran, the economic sanctions, until such time as those judgments have been satisfied.
Flores says more information is available on his Facebook and Twitter accounts. The turf grass producers of Texas have signed a license agreement with Texas A&M for a new variety of St. Augustine grass. Tam Starr was the leading performer in its five-state evaluation program with high drought tolerance and disease resistance. State Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller says nature has slowed the release process.
Originally, they were going to release it, you know, this fall, but because we had such a wet year, probably not going to have any until next spring.
The turf grass producers hold the rights to the grass in Texas and will sublicense it to members of the St. Augustine Research Group at A&M. A local icon is moving. At lunchtime today, the Miller High Life sign in South College Station took a trip up Highway 6 to its new home in North Bryan. Kristen Distributing Company is relocating the nearly 20-year-old Welcome to Aggieland sign to their new site at 8301 North Highway 6. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bianski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Miss Chip Howard yesterday, miss him again today. 4-6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom, and we are joined now by his like the longest title in sports. Kroom, he's the A&M associate athletic director. So he has like a thousand things in there. Y'all all know who Jason Cook is. Jason, how are we doing this week? Welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Aubrey. I'm doing great. How are you and Richard?
We're living the dream over here like we always are. All right, the first thing out of the gate, I said you were going to come on. The first text we got, people said to ask you about, and I remember your tweet saying that there was going to be some changes between the last game and this game. We're talking sound system. Is this thing going to be like my O2 Camry in the parking lot or like a brand new souped up, pimped out car audio this weekend?
Well, I hope it's going to roll off the assembly line in good shape this weekend, but we feel pretty good about the audio system. I was up in the press box earlier today, and you can visibly see the big speakers in the north end zone, and then also the speakers along the west side of the stadium. So a lot of work has happened since the Nevada game, and they're testing the audio system now. So we've definitely heard people. We know what the issues are, and we should be in pretty good shape for this Saturday.
Was it one of those things where they just didn't have time to install it before it opened, or have they added more stuff than they planned to add, or what was kind of the story there?
You know, it's a little bit of both. The stadium was on such a short timetable, and something like audio is not just plugging it in and turning up the volume. We can test it right now in an empty stadium, but once you get 102,000 people in that stadium, everything changes because the sound waves travel a little bit differently. And just having some additional time to test equipment and aim equipment, and then also we've gone in and added a lot of additional speakers to hit some areas where a lot of the sound was low as well. So it's a combination of everything, but the great thing about this distributed audio system that exists in the stadium, it should be concert quality sound, and that's what we're working toward.
You're saying the 12th man not only creates a lot of noise but absorbs it as well?
You know what? Bodies absorb. That's it. Oh, you're right.
Jason, what else can people expect this weekend as far as not necessarily, you know, actual improvements, but as things that are going to get smoother as you go along? I don't think a lot of people understand that you can simulate and practice and dry run, all the different things you can do. But like you said with the audio, when 102,000 people show up, everything changes. How much have y'all learned from the first two games that y'all are putting into this one this weekend?
You know, the old football cliche is that you always improve so much between game one and game two. And I think that we saw a lot of difference between the Ball State opener and Nevada game as well. But I've been telling a lot of people in our department that this is really our true first home game. And the reason I'm saying that is game one against Ball State, everything was new. No one knew how the stadium was going to function. We didn't know. We had a lot of issues with wayfinding, with fans entering different parts of the stadium trying to get to their seats, and our staff was still learning it as well. And then against Nevada, it was an 11 a.m. kick. It was so hot, people left early. But this game, being a night game, being an SEC game, I think we've learned the stadium. We've learned a lot. Our staff has done some additional training. We're bringing in even more concessions workers this weekend to make sure fans have a good experience. There's been a lot that's happened, but each week we're going to learn a little bit more. And, Kyle Field had been the same since 1999, and we knew how it was going to work before. Well, now we're going to need a little bit of time to make some tweaks from week to week.
The thing that I hadn't heard a lot about, and I know because there were so many new features that everyone hears about a lot of different things, was the, I think it's called Victory Street.
Victory
I described
Street.
It to someone as an outward-facing concession stand, but I don't know if that's really the right way to describe it. But for people that might not know what that is, why don't you tell the people a little bit about that? Because I thought that was a pretty cool thing when I happened to walk by there for the last game.
Good thing. It runs on the west side of the stadium, the side of the stadium that faces Welborn Road, and it is two outward-facing concession stands. So it's an opportunity if you don't have a tailgate or you want to just drop by and stand outside the stadium for a little bit. It's kind of a cafe kind of exterior seating patio place. There's televisions there. You can hear audio going on. They sell a ballpark fare, but then also you can get your favorite alcoholic beverage out there before you go into the stadium as well. So it's a new kind of concept that Populous brought to the table with these exterior facing concessions. And I think that once people start finding it and learning about it, we think it's going to be really popular, and it's right outside the entrance to the Hall of Champions as well, which is a great spotlight to the stadium too.
Now, the Hall of Champions, that's open on game days to the public, right, for a few hours, isn't it?
Right. Hall of Champions is open for this week. It's going to be from 10 to 3. And at 3 o'clock, then it closes, and we do a cleanup of the facility. Then it becomes an entry to a lot of the premium sections of the stadium on the west side of Kyle Field. But from 10 to 3, it's an opportunity to come in there and experience a lot of the championship moments that we've had in Texas A&M Athletics. It's a great place, a cool place to kind of catch your breath for a little bit, and then there's some great interactives where kids can try on Texas A&M jerseys, and you can email it to a photo to yourself. There's an interactive timeline. You can hear Letterman talk. You can see Coach Sumlin, see the Yell leaders, interact with them through some cool technology. So it's a really neat space to go and experience. But Hall of Champions from 10 to 3 on Saturday.
Now, Jason, I got to ask you, artificial noisemakers are not allowed in Kyle Field, but as a high-ranking official in the A&M Athletic Department and graduate of Mississippi State, will you be sneaking your cowbell in through the back entrance, or how's that going to work?
Absolutely not. It was it was kind of funny this morning. Mike Caruso, who is our head of game operations for us, asked me if I had a cowbell a couple of days ago, and I said, yes, Mike, I do have a cowbell that has been long retired. He said, I want you to bring it up to work. And I wanted to start our meetings with it this week by ringing the cowbell. And for those of you who may not be familiar, the cowbells are big, and they have a bicycle handle welded to them. So you can ring it, and it's quite loud. So this morning, Mike rang that cowbell, and it woke our game staff up pretty quickly. But the deal was is that he wasn't supposed to tell anybody that it was mine. And so I was outed quite quickly. So the cowbell is on retirement, and it is kind of strange to play your alma mater in a sporting event. But I tell people I've been at Texas A&M much longer than I was at Mississippi State, and this is home, and I want the Aggie Maroon to win this Saturday.
It should be a fun one. We got an email this morning, and I know y'all have been talking about this a little bit. One of the things I hear all the time when I ask people, hey, you going to the game this weekend? They say, no, I wasn't able to get tickets. Well, a lot of people don't check to see if there's actual tickets for sale sometimes. They just assume that they're sold out. That's not the case for this game, right? Y'all still have a few tickets left?
Yeah, we sure do. And from a season ticket standpoint, we had a tremendous response and a sellout from that standpoint. Student sports passes sold out. But from time to time, we have opponents that will return tickets to us. So we allocate 6,000 tickets to our opponents. And Mississippi State returned some tickets to us, a couple thousand tickets earlier in the week. So we do have tickets available to come and experience the grandeur that is Kyle Field. But it's also a great opportunity to come to an SEC game against a great Mississippi State team, come be a part of the 12th man. So we've got about 900 tickets available. And I was doing some research yesterday, and tickets, if you go to the secondary market, are averaging about $284 for this Mississippi State game. If you buy them through the 12th Man Foundation, you get them for face value. And you can call 888-99-AGGIE, or you can go to 12thman.com/tickets, and we do have them available. So we'd love to have people come out. It's going to be a magical evening on Saturday night.
We're chatting with Jason Cook. Jason, a couple more questions before you go. Do you have a favorite aspect of the new Kyle Field? I mean, I know everyone's got their own thing that they like more or whatever. Do you have anything in particular?
You know what? There's a lot of branding elements in the stadium that that I really like, because that's what I had a role in. And one of the things that once you go up the escalators on the west side of the stadium, we had fans submit photos. And so there's these huge mosaics of the home of the 12th man sign on one side and also the Texas A&M logo on the other. So as you're going up these escalators, you can see images that fans submitted. And I think that speaks so much to the 12th man. So all these people came together and helped build Kyle Field. That's probably one of my favorite moments. And then I'm really excited about Saturday night to see how loud the stadium's going to get for a conference game. With the acoustics and closing in the end zone and lowering the field, I think we're going to get a true test of just how loud the 12th man is. So I'm excited about that.
And have you tried all of the new concessions, and what's the best thing?
What's the best thing? I try to eat a little bit. I really don't eat a lot during game day because I don't sit down much, to be honest. But a lot of people don't know that the hot dog is actually a specially formulated hot dog by Slovacek just for Kyle Field. And Levy, our concessionaire, worked with them. I think Chef Piku ate about 20 hot dogs to find one that he liked. I guess he's the hot dog champion of the world now. but it is a specially formulated hot dog, and it is actually a great game day flavor hot dog. So I'm more of the regular staple kind of ballpark guy.
Well, there you go. Upgraded hot dogs are one of the best features.
You can't get
I hope
better
you didn't eat all 20 at the same time.
I hope so, too. That would be rough.
That would have been quite the adventure. Jason, I'll let you go. I know you all are busy this time of the week, kind of ramping up to game day. I know that we're busy over here, same deal. So we won't hold you any longer than we have to. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
All right. We'll see you all this weekend at Kyle Field.
All right.
There you go, Krim. Always good to talk to Jason Cook. That's some good stuff to say. I was talking to him earlier in the week, and I wanted to get him on because a lot of they had to open it, and then there was, you know, they learned a lot from those first two games, and then I think it's going to be a lot better here this weekend. And then, like I said, a lot of people didn't really understand that the sound thing was sort of a work in progress. That was it, and hopefully that's better for this weekend also. So maybe we'll finally hear some.
I'm just hoping
stuff.
I can get on the internet.
Y'all don't know how to use the internet. I have had zero internet problems. I'm going to jinx it now. But at the new Kyle Field, y'all have all kinds of problems up there.
I know. We do. For some reason, we do.
It's because y'all are old and don't understand technology.
No, wrong. I mean, I get it down in the press, where they hold the press conferences, but not upstairs.
Classic. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, maybe some Today in Aggie History, maybe some other stuff. Who knows? Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
in conjunction with the 13th Annual Surviving and Thriving Lunch brought to you by the Texas A&M Health Science Center, featuring Joan London, sponsored by Kay and Britt Rice. Pink Alliance is excited that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink. Wear your pink attire and stop by one of the participating restaurants, and 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
Football fans, learn how you can win a chance for your child to be the Texas A&M kickoff kid by visiting academy.com/Aggies. A new winner will be chosen for each home game, so enter early at academy.com/Aggies for your best chance to win. No purchase necessary. Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud corporate partner of Texas A&M Athletics.
The right stuff, the low price, every day.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme.
This is Debbie at American Lube Centers. We are known for our fast, friendly service. Now we're looking for experienced lube techs and detailers for our four locations. We also have car wash tech positions available. So if you just love making cars shiny like new, then come apply today. Full-time or part-time, apply in person or email hr@americanlubecenters.com. Come join the award-winning team at American Lube Centers. Best of the Brazos for five consecutive years. American Lube Centers, growing strong, building futures, and taking care of our customers.
The next Spirit Stop, brought to you by Buppy's Catering, is this Sunday at Aggie Volleyball. The Aggies are 1-1 in SEC play, and they'll host the Ole Miss Rebels. Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM will be at Reed Arena at noon, an hour before first serve. Stop by the Zone tent to say howdy and sign up for a free care pack. Spirit Stops are brought to you by Buppy's Catering. Find more information on the events tab at Zone 1150.com.
Base.
Vision, dreams of passion.
Welcome back. Blue McCroom hanging out. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Croom, why don't we hit you with a little Today in Aggie History?
Do that. Right now.
Yeah?
And now, Today in Aggie History.
All right, we got a few different things here, Croom.
What was like an addition to the end of the Aggie History
yeah.
jingle?
I think their computer just has them all lined up, so you never know what you might get. All right, it's October 1st, which, by the way, it's this quick side note. Well, we're going to get to that next hour. We'll get there. Anyway, but the you can always check out the Today in Aggie History on MyAggieNation.com. Also on there, I did a blog about Is Kyle Allen Elite? Is what the name of the blog was, and broke down a bunch of different stats. His first nine games compared to the first nine games of Manziel and Tannehill. Also, where he ranks among sophomores in the nation, some stuff like that. So, some interesting stats if you want to go check that out. That's on my blog at myagination.com. But today's Today in Aggie History, October 1st. Let's see what year. 1915. Croom, you were just a young lad.
I was just a youngster,
then.
Yeah. World War One.
Well,
thinking
so
about
100 years ago. So there, this is the 100th anniversary. The Texas legislature approved the creation of the Texas A&M Forest Service as the branch of the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station. So there you go. the A&M Forest Service, an agency of the A&M University System, recently in 2011 named the Century Tree as a famous tree of Texas. No clue on what the requirements are to be a famous tree of Texas, but that list is run by the Texas A&M Forest Service. So there you go. Also, October 1st, 1913, A&M President Teague Milner resigned, or his resignation went into effect. And the October 1st, 1920, Texas A&M defeated Daniel Baker College of Brownwood in the most lopsided win in program history. Crew, it's going to be a tough one to beat, 110-0. So I don't know if we're going to see that one in a while.
I wonder what the over-under was on that game.
Well, it was the 20s, so it was, you know, probably not a lot of people were betting. Well, it was the roaring 20s. This is early in the 20s, so who knows? Who knows? Probably 111, Kroom, and then people got hosed.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's today's day in Aggie history. Also a lot of birthdays. Some birthdays on today in Aggie history. So check it out, MaggieNation.com. Kroom, what was your – it's a simple question. Is Kyle Allen elite? But – yeah, it was kind of a play on the Joe Flacco elite thing that people do all the time.
Yeah, and that's the deal. I was going to kind of almost bring it up like that because it kind of depends on what your definition of elite is. I mean, because to me, elite is like in the NFL, it's like maybe three quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of
so. I would say right now, I would say no for where he stands and his, you know, the fact that he's a sophomore, how many games he's played and things like that.
Yeah,
I would say you could almost put him into that, but. Elite quarterback.
He's on the way.
College it's, elite quarterback. Not yet.
I don't want. Yeah, not yet. Is kind of the conclusion I came to.
Elite is to me like if you're elite for a long time, you're Hall of Fame.
Well, you're not of all time. We're doing elite like right now.
No, but I mean if you're an elite like Aaron Rodgers, he's an elite quarterback for 6-7 years. To me, that qualifies
okay,
him for Hall
of
Fame.
We're talking about college football.
I know that, but I'm just going the other.
So is Trayvon Boykin elite? Yeah, right? It has to be.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was trying to figure out what you were trying to say there. Anyway, but I put some stats on there. The CFBstats.com, by the way, is amazing. And I thought one thing that was interesting is that Allen's been really good this season, but there's things he's not been real good at. And we kind of talk about some of those. The one I found most fascinating was on third downs between 7 and 9 yards, or between 7 and 10 yards, because it also includes 9 yards. Allen isn't even the best on the team. Murray is better than Allen is. Murray's 3 of 4, and all three passes went for first downs. Allen is 7 of 9. 3 of 7, and only 2 of them went for first down.
And in Murray's case, that doesn't even count the runs that he's made for first downs.
But like I said, Allen's been really, really good. In fact, the stat he's probably best at is yards per attempt, where he is one of the best in the country. I think
of course, having a guy like Kirk helps that.
Yeah, I think he's 12th in yards per attempt, and that's the kind of what it kind of speaks to. He's had a lot of big plays, but he's been a little sub. Elite, what do we call that? Normal, I guess. Mediocre, whatever.
Better than average.
On third down. That's the area he's got to get better. And again, that's what you expect from a young quarterback. He can make the big throws, but throwing into tight windows, a little bit difficult. But again, 9 starts. So
well, the overtime winner was elite.
Yeah.
That was a great pass.
By the way, touchdown passes through 9 starts. Ryan Tannehill, 16. Johnny Manziel, 16. Although Manziel also had 16 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Allen, 24. So, there you go. At least.
And remember that first start, did he have any, the first start?
I'm not sure. But there you go, 24.
Because that was not good.
Also, fewer interceptions than Tannehill, more yards per attempt, and almost the same completion percentage, 63-65. So, the thing I learned from doing this, Manziel was a really good passer his first 9 games, but it got overshadowed by the fact of how good he was running the ball. Uh-huh. But because Manziel, yards per attempt to his first 9 games, 8.3 yards per attempt. And he had 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and plus 16 rushing touchdowns.
Well, that offense was just great. I mean, we talked about it when they were playing. It was like, if you're playing against them and you get stopped somewhere near midfield, you don't punt because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you give them the ball; they were going to score. you know.
I was surprised by Tannehill's interceptions. You know, 16 touchdowns to 10 interceptions for Tannehill through 9 games surprised me a little bit. I thought his numbers were going to be better than that. But there you go. You can check that out at MyAggieNation.com. Just some more stats, some more stuff to pour through. You can leave your comments. Tell us if you agree, disagree, whatever. Someone texted that they were skeptical of the Wi-Fi crew. I was skeptical as well. Ooh. But it was pleasantly surprising. Faster than the Wi-Fi on campus. That's what they said. Wow, that's... I find that hard to believe. Maybe...